be.
The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Back here in the saddle with Alan Ellis. Chuck Spoor still sitting in here this morning.
Hello.
Yeah, man. Chuck's president of Physically Challenged Bow Hunters of America. EW had to leave. EW Grimes with president of Maryland Chapter of Quality Deer Management Association. Good conversation. A lot of fun last
hour. That hour went fast.
It went fast. It went too fast. So, but we're changing tracks here. Now we're going to talk about something even more juicy, and that is... with Dr. Joe Love. Morning, Doctor. Hello, Dr. Love. Hello, Dr. Love. Hello, Joe. Where you been? Hello?
Yes, sir. Hello?
Hello? testing. Dr. Love.
Hello?
Calling Dr. Love.
Yeah.
Dr. Klein. Dr. Howard. Oh, man. How you been, man?
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you now. You're good. Yep.
Man, I was worried there for a second. I was thinking all this new technology.
Yeah, work. Telephones are really tough.
Yeah. Well, they have been for me lately.
Got it.
How are you guys doing?
Doing good. How about you?
Well, I'm enjoying summer vacation. Not much of a vacation, but I'm enjoying summer a little bit. I'm growing tomatoes, so you know.
Where are you?
Oh, well, right now I'm at the house.
Okay, good.
Vacation.
All right. So it's
we call that a staycation.
A staycation. That's right.
That's right.
All right. So we're going to talk about invasive fish, and in particular the snakehead.
Right. Yeah, and I'm glad we get to talk a little bit about it. I know that I was on your show a little earlier in the year this summer and talked a little bit about snakeheads. You
right.
know that they are everywhere on the Eastern Shore now.
Yes, and, they are.
You know, so we're trying to spread the word as best as we can about, you know, what to do when you hook into them, you know, what you can expect. And maybe what you can do after you hook into them if you want to harvest them. Yeah, we got bow hunting that's pretty popular on the other side of the bay for snakeheads. But I'm told it's tougher on the Eastern Shore because the water's not as clear.
Right.
You know, but, there are some areas like ditches, where bow hunters might be able to tag them, pretty easily. And so what we're trying to do is get some information in people's hands about the species. Let them know what's going on the Eastern Shore.
Got a question.
Yes, sir.
It is an invasive species.
Yes, sir.
Has fishing and boating pretty much given up the fight to eradicate them?
Well, no, and I'd say that, you know, my being on your show this morning and talking about mobilizing anglers to harvest them, that just kind of demonstrates how we have not given up.
Okay.
We've done a lot. You know, it is true that we're not, you know, dropping poison into ponds like we did at Crofton to eradicate them. You know, Arkansas did that and it cost nearly $1 million and it didn't work. You know, we did it in Crofton, cost us $110,000, and ultimately they got into the Potomac anyway.
Right.
So, you know, those kinds of methods we are not likely to go down the road for. But
makes sense.
We are, you know, but you know, it's just cost too much and it's not too effective. But one thing that has shown to be effective have been people going after and harvesting snakeheads. I mean, this is what they do
right
in China. You know, they love them in China. They eat the heck out of them in China, and it helps control their populations there. There's no reason that strategy can't work in North America, but we have some significant hurdles to overcome. You know, they are called snakehead, which is, you know, a problem because people don't like handling a fish called a snake, you know?
Right.
And they're toothy and they can be difficult to handle. And, you know, there's a little bit of misinformation about them, you know, stealing away children in the night. And
really?
Yeah. So we need a couple of horror movies. You know,
well, Frankenfish was, you know, they got to be the size of like a dolphin and they'd jump up on the dock and chew people up, you know, that. What's wrong with that? I mean, hey, look, everybody has to have a little terror in their life, right?
So. Well, I tell you what, we got there's a 20 pounder likely on Virginia that's going to compete for the IGFA, and so we've got some 20 pound fish out there, 18 pound fish. So it's not as big as a dolphin, but they are pretty big.
I saw the state record. I saw the actual fish the other day.
Did you?
I did.
From Mattawamon Creek?
Yep, yeah. It's frozen at a taxidermist shop down in Mechanicsville, and the guy rolled it out and showed it to us. And it, you know, the weight was there, but they've caught fish 7-8 inches longer than that fish.
Yeah.
You know?
And I tell you, yeah, I think there are bigger ones out there than that.
Oh, no question.
And we're gonna start seeing them. I mean, it's only been, you know, a few years, really, since they've been in our waters. So they're still growing. We're still living within a single generation. There's still, you know, some fish swimming around there that have been out there for, you know, 10, 15 years. So I have no doubt that we're going to see some bigger fish. They do, you know, we jump out of the water. I had a guy tell me out of Middle River, he saw snakeheads jumping out of the water going after ducks on the eastern shore. There's been some folks, commercial guys, going after snakehead. They're saying they're going after ducklings and muskrats.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not saying it's the thing of Frankenfish. I'm not saying it's the thing of monster movies. But they do get big, and they do kind of leap out of the water. So.
Do they?
Yeah, and they got a lot of teeth.
So they get big, they leap out of the water, and they eat anything in sight, but they don't eat ducks and they don't eat muskrats? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
No, they do eat ducks and muskrats.
Oh, they do. Oh,
yeah,
so now you have some. Okay. Hey, let me tell you something. I haven't caught one yet. As soon as one of them suckers eats a sick of deer, I'm down there.
No. Let's hope that doesn't happen. I don't think they're going to get that big, and they're probably not going to be walking on land to go after a sick of deer. So we'll be all right.
I shot a three-legged sick of deer, damn snakehead.
Well, you know, those are negative impacts.
No.
I don't think that's going to be a problem, but they are a problem for some of our aquatic resources. You know, we do care about ducklings. We do care about muskrats. We care about fish. We care about frogs, amphibians. There are a lot of people out there who love frogs.
Sure.
And, we're trying to, you know, show people that it's a problem when you introduce some of these species like snakeheads because, you know, it can have an impact, a negative impact on our resources that we're trying to protect. And in the case of snakehead, you know, they seem to be preying on a lot of different things. And, we originally thought on the Potomac River that they were just going after minnows. And I still talk to people who say, oh, well, they're just going after minnows. And we've learned a lot. They've evolved their diet since, the early 2000s. And now we're seeing them go after crawfish. We're seeing them go after, you know, vertebrates. And we're seeing them going after ducks and muskrats. And I think we're learning more about how they're expanding their diet and how that's, you know, impacting ultimately our resources.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they're eating machines. Now, somebody was telling me in Southeast Asia, of course, they're far more economic value than they are here. But the rice farmer over there in the rice paddies actually encourage them to live in the shallow rice paddies because they are predator control. They'll eat the snakes, they'll eat the rats and everything else. Had you heard
that's
that?
That's amazing.
Had you heard
no,
that?
I hadn't.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. Huh. So, you know, you can take all that into consideration, you know, from hearsay to the fact is sometimes, you know, quite a chasm. But, you know, that's what I heard this week. So go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, I mean, we've got, you know, we haven't seen, to my knowledge, any snakes turn up in their diet, but it's possible.
Sure.
And we do, you know, we do see them living in areas where they're likely to run into, you know, snakes. And we've got, on the eastern shore, I'm not saying it's a rice paddy, but, you know, we've got a lot of ditches, a lot of flooded fields there. And,
yeah.
You know, we don't necessarily want them controlling the snake population because in North America we have other things controlling snake population.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, now we add snakehead to the mix, and snakes, you know, have less of a chance to live.
So right. Well, now you got to train the snakeheads to eat the red-tailed hawks. That's all.
Oh boy.
Jeez. But well, you know, you mentioned the ditches. You mentioned the ditches down there on the Eastern Shore. I mean, that seems to be like the superhighway for snakeheads. I mean, you got ditches everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, they can, you get, just like the C&D Canal, they get in a ditch like that, and they're up and down the river, any access point, they can slip into the river up there. You know, John Mollican was on and was talking about the appearance of the snakeheads in the Potomac now, Upper Potomac. And then, you know, you get on the Eastern Shore, and that's like the main way for them to get from point A to point B, the entire ditch system down there. And with all the rain we've had, I can't imagine that they're not expanding their range even more.
Oh, so. It's been a great year for them.
I'll yeah, sure.
You know, we've gotten a lot of calls this year of it being found in new areas. And, you know, you mentioned the ditches. You know, Don Cosson was with my boss, you know, once said, you know, if it ever got to the Eastern Shore, it's a done deal because of that ditch network, talking about that super highway. And he was right. You know, we've seen it. They've spread out pretty significantly over there. There are now reports of them being in the Pocomoke, nothing verified, but I have it on good faith from people who know what a snakehead looked like that they are in the Pocomoke, which means that now they're in all those major rivers on the Eastern Shore, and you know, once they're there, you're not going to get rid of them.
Correct.
So we end up sometimes. You mentioned ditches. We end up sometimes with snakeheads ending up on people's driveways too.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, oh. We got pictures. We got pictures of them down Elliott Island crossing. In and out of Savannah Lake across Elliott Island Road.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, walking right across or whatever they do, matriculating or whatever they do across the road.
Yeah. Moving right across. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. I see you change the dates on the Snakehead Derby from October to next June.
We did. That was actually our oversight. We had originally thought we could have it in October, but turns out the refuge shuts down a lot of angling access, you know,
for the deer hunters.
And waterfowl. So, you know, we decided, well, we'll go ahead and do it in June.
Right.
Which it's good. It'll give us more time to plan.
Right.
Maybe we can get, you know, some more sponsors for prizes. You know, over when we did this over in the Upper Potomac, up in the CNO Canal, you know, we had about 400 people show up on a single day, which,
wow,
you know, I thought was pretty successful. Only one snakehead was caught, but we reached a lot of people, and it was fun for the kids because we did snakehead prints. We talked to people about what it means to have this new species in their backyard,
right?
And I thought that was really important.
It was.
People, you know, a lot of people haven't, you know, dealt with a species like this, you know, tooth the animal, you know, they can't lip it, they're big, they got a lot of muscles, they got a lot of mucus. So we need to, if they hook into one, particularly if you're a trout angler and you hook into one, we want you to have an idea of what to expect when you handle
it. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Joe, we got to take a short break here. We'll be right back. Okay. Hang in there.
Yes, sir.
For almost 10 years, hunters have relied on Onyx, O-N-X. Small O, small N, capital X, to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that gives clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry, like the National Wild Turkey Federation and Quality Deer Management Association. Whether it's on your smartphone or on your handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with Onyx Hunt. That is an app that you can download on your phone. Right, Chuck?
Yes, sir.
Did you download?
I did, but I haven't, you know, activated it.
Activated, yeah, I got it. Okay, Onyx. So make sure you take a look at that. Now, summer is the time for get-togethers and reunions and church picnics and family picnics and camping. Summer's corn on the cob and fresh tomatoes and cold, juicy melons. The Schillinger family at Papa John's Farm tells us that they've got plenty of sweet corn. Plenty of homegrown tomatoes. If you like your time outdoors with great tasting food, we recommend that you head to Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty super sweet corn and homegrown tomatoes are ready. They have four or five farms where they grow their own products. There's squash, there's zucchini, there's peppers, there's onions, there's cucumbers, there's mouthwatering cantaloupes and sweet watermelons. And sweet cantaloupes and sweet watermelons. Did I mention sweet watermelons? Well, that's what they have. Papa John's Farm, located just off I-97 at exit 12, 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. Call 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm is open every day, Monday to Saturday, 9 to 7, Sunday, 9 to 6. That phone number again, 410-969-8810. Having a family reunion? Having a church picnic? Having a crab feast? Need some corn? Papa John's Farm. Visit them. It'll grow on you. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Hey, Chesapeake Outdoors, first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Why are they the first choice? Because they're first on the list. You cross the Bay Bridge, you go to exit 39B, Dominion Road, you get off, and then you'll go by the shop, and then you'll get off the exit and go back into the back parking lot of it. If you need anything for hunting season, which is right around the corner, September 1, you know, they've got the dove loads. They've got the shotguns by Remington, Chiappa. They've got muzzleloaders and accessories by CVA and Thompson Center. Costa sunglasses, Yeti coolers, Bubba Blade knives. They got all kinds of waterfowl calls. Largest selection in the area, decoys and steel shot, gear, camo. You know, there's a resident goose population season that starts September 1. And then don't forget dove season as well. Dove loads too, dove stools, dove camo. They've got banded camo. They've got scent lock apparel for the deer hunters. They got the new electric Rambo bikes. For archery, they got a clearance sale on Hoyt bows. All the Hoyt bows are in stock or on sale and clearance. Raven Crossbows, Excalibur, Carbon Express, 10-Point Mission, and yes, Chuck, Barnett Crossbows in stock. Don't forget the Matthews Solo Cam Compound Bows. That's everything for hunting at Chesapeake Outdoors, right around the corner. 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Clyde Sports Shop is your full-line Browning dealer. Buckmark Handguns, BT-99 Ideal Competition Shotgun for trap shooters of all ages. The 725 Satori Sporting Clays Shotgun, 5 Invector DS Choke Tubes, Ported Barrel, Triple Trigger System, Vector Pro Length Enforcing Cones now available in 12 and 20 gauge, and the 725 Field Model is also available if you like the over and under for upland birds, doves, and whatever. Don't forget the X-Bolt. The X-Bolt is extremely accurate in a bolt-action centerfire big-game rifle. All standard magnum and short magnum calibers are available. It's got an adjustable feather trigger, detachable rotary magazine, the X-Bolt, the standard for high-powered centerfire rifles. If you need a bargain on a centerfire rifle, if you're buying your first one or you're buying one for a gift, the AB300 comes with a scope. It comes with a Nikon Buckmaster 4-12 by 40 BDC rifle scope. 243, 308, 270, 30-06, 7mm 08, 7mm Remington mag, and 300 Win mag. They've got all the popular high-powered rifle calibers. That's the AB3 package deal, and it's very reasonably priced for high-power rifle and scope. Then there's the A5, the most reliable, fastest cycling, best balanced, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. 100,000 round or 5-year guarantee. You need to see one of these at Clyde Sports Shop. There are rebates from $100 to $50 on select guns, and you can check all that out at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire. Auto.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Making a living the old hard way, taking and giving my day by day. I did snow and rain.
All right. We're with Dr. Joe Love, whose primary area of expertise is the tidal areas of Maryland, including the largemouth bass populations, all the panfish. And now we're talking about invasive species since they seem to be in your backyard there, Joe.
Yes, sir. Yep.
We hit the snakehead pretty hard. We just need, as one caller suggested, to call it the Chesapeake Roundtail and begin to serve up the Chesapeake Roundtail at different seafood establishments and things like that. So we need to rename that fish.
You know, I think that's a clever name. I like that. I tell people that, you know, we as a government agency, you know, we don't have the authority really to change the name of the species. It's set by the American Society of Ichthyologists and Herpetologists. So there are these groups that, in science, have set the common and species name for these fish.
Well, but, I guess you'll have to talk to the Department of Agriculture since they control the seafood industry here in Maryland now. And you know, have you ever eaten horse mackerel? Do you like horse mackerel? Huh?
I might. I don't know.
It's a bluefin tuna.
Yeah.
Used to be called a horse mackerel.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got a. You
got to tell these fisheries biologists everything.
I know. I learned. That's why I'm on the show, man. We got other species out there too, like with weird names like slimehead, but
yes,
been renamed, right?
Yes, of course.
And I often tell folks, look, if you want to sell it in your restaurant or you want to call it something else, you know, that's how we started calling striped bass rockfish in the state of Maryland. I mean, rockfish is not the proper way to refer to a striped bass, but
right,
you know, it's very local here, and people just refer to them as rockfish. And, you know, so if folks wanted to do that, they're open to do that. And you're right. If they wanted to market it commercially, they could talk to USDA seafood marketing program, and maybe they could get something done that way.
Right, right.
You know,
orange roughy, slimehead. You mentioned it earlier.
That's right. Yeah. Right, right.
Yep.
So, you know, I like that name. I think Charles County ran a contest for a little while to come up with a new name, but a lot of people don't like the name snakehead. And you know, I'm open. If you wanna lie to your kids and tell them something like Chesapeake Crown Tail, you do it. I think that's great. You know, it's all right.
I was in a shop the other day. And they love to bowfish for snakeheads. They came up with based on a frog gig, they came up with a 6-foot aluminum pitchfork with 5 prongs, 5 points, and on each of those points is a bowfishing tip.
Wow.
And there's a ring at the end where you can attach your rope, and it's like Trident Serpent. I mean, what Trident? Yeah, Neptune's Trident.
Like
Neptune's Trident.
Trident.
Yeah, Neptune's Trident. Okay. Well, it's got 5 prongs on it. All of them have bow fishing heads on them. And they said they went out the other night and used it and caught 41 snakeheads. Killed one with a bow, 40 of them with this gig. So,
wow.
Yeah, pretty effective.
Yeah, that is very effective. And,
yep.
One of the reasons we have this, cheaper commercial license for bow hunters to go after snakehead is because, you know, spearing them like that is just so doggone effective. You can get so many of them in a night, and we ended up having people go out and they got too many snakehead using
right.
bow, and they don't know what to do with them. You know, you can only load your freezer so much.
Right.
And you only have so much freezer space. So, you know, the department, the governor signed legislation to allow folks to sell their snakehead,
right.
their caution with a bow, you know, for $50. And it's an unlimited number of licenses. So it's not like a TFL or, you know, some
right.
of the other commercial licenses by the department. So,
where's that link? Can you send me that link?
I sure can.
Not today, but, you know, when you're off vacation or whatever, send me that link. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, sure. I sure will. We, you know, if folks want to go into a licensed service center, they can just ask them for that license. But we have an application, and I'll send you that PDF.
That'd be great.
To the PDF.
Sure.
And people can learn more about it. So
okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yep. We got Captain Don just said, have a contest. Rename the snakehead.
We'll do it. I don't want to be the judge.
I'll send you the advertising contract.
You do that. That'll be perfect. That'll be perfect. But I like that Chesapeake Roundtail idea. That's probably the best one I've heard of.
Yep. That was a caller, Mark. He just called in the last hour, and he suggested that. And he's the one that talked about slimehead and horsehead mackerel and all that. You know, and people don't want to eat. I don't know what the real name for monkfish is. But
goosefish.
Goosefish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just it looks like somebody ran over a catfish. You know, it's kind of what they look like, huh? Yeah.
They are an ugly fish.
Oh my gosh, they're ugly. Yes, they are. So.
But they taste good.
They do. Poor man's lobster. Poor man's lobster.
Right.
So.
That's right. Yeah,
all right. Okay, let's talk a little bit about some other wonderful invasive species here in Maryland. And there's tons of them, you know, Phragmites, and now the pestilence in the reservoirs is this Asian basket weave grass. I don't know if you know anything about that or not, but it is nasty stuff. Sticky seeds, you walk through it, animals walk through it, and it just spreads like wildfire. And it blots out the ground. No, nothing can grow, nothing can live there, nothing can eat there, and nothing eats it. So it's a mess. But that's a plant. Let's talk about animals.
Well, I mean, plants are important. I get it. It's not my expertise with the aquatic plants is sometimes out of my my realm of expertise. But I, you know, my house, I've got a lot of bamboo all around, right?
Right, exactly.
With some of these invasive plants.
Exactly.
You know,
years ago, one of the most popular guide services on the Potomac sounded the alarm that hydrilla would kill everything in its path. I mean, it was like frankenweed. You know, I mean, it really was, and the alarm was raised. You know, we can't have this in our Potomac River here. It's coming here, and you know, now we've got the what are the oysters called? Mussels, zebra mussels.
Yeah, you know? Right.
And they are nasty. They're bad. So there are some things that are bad. Other things that have been here for a long time, and one of those is, well, two of those are catfish. One of them in particular is the blue catfish. Talk about the blue catfish a little bit.
Yeah, you know, blue catfish is interesting. You know, it's part of North America. It's part of the Mississippi River history. I come from Louisiana, and we fish a lot of blue catfish down there. But in Maryland or in the Chesapeake Bay, it was introduced in the 1970s, so it didn't used to be here. And for a while there, you know, it didn't do much, at least on the Potomac River. The population wasn't so big. But on the Virginia side where it's introduced into the James River, the Rappahannock, by Virginia Department of Game and Inland Fish. And, you know, it did well there. It gave them a good fishery. They like to tout it as a trophy fishery, so it did really well. Then the species began to spread outside those rivers, and it got into the Potomac River. Some think that it may have also just been introduced into the Potomac River, but in either case, it didn't really become a problem in the Potomac until, say, the last 10 years. So, you know, people started seeing it in the 80s, but then the population really just kind of took off for some reason in the Potomac River. And so now we're seeing everywhere.
Cover and food. Had to have a great environment, a great ecosystem there to support the big life form of the blue catfish. Had, you know.
Yeah.
How else does something thrive other than an ideal environment?
You're right. And there, the Potomac River is the second largest drainage of the Chesapeake Bay. There's a lot of food there, a lot of habitat, a lot of space, and blue catfish they did really well. They are a great species for living in estuaries, eutrophied areas, and they've done really well in the Chesapeake Bay. You know, I know there's a lot of controversy on that species. I mean, there's some controversy on snakehead as well, but, you know, blue catfish, people are concerned about what their impacts are going to be because what they eat. They get huge, right? I mean, 82 pounds. There was a 102 pounder caught in James River recently. So, I mean, these animals get much bigger than snakehead and get really large, and people think about, you know, they're vacuum cleaners under the water. But not just that, I mean, I've gone out on electric fishing boats and we've dropped electricity in the water. There have been thousands of young blue catfish that's just come up from the bottom, and I look out at that biomass and I think, well, you guys must be having some kind of impact down there. And the reality is, you know, we're still learning what that impact is. There was a study that was just recently published by Virginia Tech on the diets of blue catfish. They looked at thousands of blue catfish and looked at the diet. And one of the things they found is a large proportion of them were eating blue crabs. You know, these guys may not be, the blue catfish may not be going after, you know, river shad, river herring.
Well, they don't have all that all year long to eat.
Yes, that's right. It's a seasonal product.
Right.
But they got blue crabs, and that, you know, is actually, I think, should be a concern for Maryland that's built this character up on blue crabs.
Right.
And now we have catfish, which, by the way, are, of course, expanding into the eastern shore. I've gotten reports of them being, I've seen them on Marshy Hope, but 4 years ago. But now they've gotten really abundant on marshy hoke, and you know people are fishing for them in
right.
the upper part of the Eastern Shore.
2 years ago, I was out with Chuck Stentz on the sturgeon survey, and they ran across a commercial waterman that fished exclusively for blue cats on the marshy hoke. You know,
right.
I mean, they knew the guy. It was, hey, how you guys doing today? You know, that type of thing. So, yeah, I mean, that was a hotbed even then. So
it's enough to make a market. And, look, they pulled out 1 million pounds of blue cats out of the Potomac River. And some of the, you know, last year, and some of the numbers that we've been crunching indicate that that's not nearly enough.
Right.
I mean, a million pounds,
Chuck.
Yeah.
I don't weigh 1 million pounds.
No, the blue catfish. That's how many they took out of it. You and I together don't weigh 1 million pounds.
We're not too far from it.
No. Hey, Joe, let me interrupt just for a second. We've got Greg on the line, and he wants to talk about, he's on his way to the Eastern Shore. He wants to talk about snakeheads. Greg, are you with us?
Okay. Yeah, Alan, I'm right here. I'm a tournament bass fisherman. I've been involved with the MBF Bass Federation for a long time. My friend Scott Soule is the conservation director.
Right.
Actually, you know Scott Love.
I do.
They work with
Joe
together.
Love, yep.
And, you know, I the past 2 months now, I've got the snakehead bug, and I've been trying to catch them. And, you know, they're not easy fish to catch.
No.
You know, and they're everywhere now. Had a bass tournament on the Bush River last weekend, and I see 5 or 6 fry balls, Karen's Garden of Fries. They are in every creek, every river, in the upper bay, and all the tributaries.
Let me explain what a fry ball is to our listeners.
Well, a fry ball is, you know, fry of the year, and the male and female guard the fry ball. They guard the fry ball from predators.
It's all the fry swimming in a circle, basically.
Yeah, a big fry ball, yeah.
Right.
You know, I'm sitting there fishing, bass fishing in my tournament, and I had some rumors that they were in a certain creek, and, you know, sure enough, I see the fry ball, I look down, and there's a male and female
right.
standing underneath of them.
Right.
And they're actually small fish, 2.5 pound maybe.
Right.
And there must have been 400 fry in that one fry ball. So
let me give you a little tip from people that I've talked to that fish for them. They love current, number one.
Yeah.
But they would rather stay to the edge of the current to ambush their prey rather than right out in it.
Oh yeah.
So if you got a little eddy or something like that, or a little place along the bank where the current slows down a little bit and it looks like a fishy spot where something would lay to ambush some prey, that's where you fish. And a bass-colored shad will work for you.
Yeah, swim baits. Trust me, I know it all. Swim baits, top water frogs, spinner bait, chatter bait. My best bait is the chatter bait for them. I'm on my way to Transquaking River right now, near Blackwater.
Right.
You'll catch them.
Yeah, there are a ton of them there, no question.
And they're so thick, and I've spent 2-3 days there fishing for them out of the bed. I got a jet boat, so I can run the place pretty good.
Right. Watch out for copperheads, by the way.
And
seriously, watch out for the aquatic copperheads. They swim down those creeks.
Don't bother me. But, yeah,
you're a man, Greg.
They're difficult to fish, man. I went down here, I fished for 12 hours, and all I caught was largemouth bass, big largemouth bass. But, you know, I got the bug. I've been
so you're a bass fisherman who switched to snakeheads, and now when you catch a bass, it's like, I caught was a big bass.
Yeah.
I get it, Greg. Oh, my gosh.
And, I know that a lot of the snakeheads been transplanted by unscrupulous people.
That's true.
That they've been not, you know, there's some, you know, Facebook groups and stuff like that. I see people with fry in their tanks.
They're not shy about telling people that either.
No, they're not at all. And you're not going to stop it now since they're actually reproducing in all the tributaries of all the bay, you know, Susquehanna up a lap at them and, you know, up in the grass beds. We caught one last year in a tournament up there, and, you know, they've been seen laying on top of the grass beds up there. And bow fishing will work up in the upper bay, but down here in the black water, bow fishing does not work because you can't see them.
Right.
You know, my buddy's tried, you know, the lights on the boat and everything like that, a bow fishing boat. You just can't see them at night.
Right.
And, you know, Blackwater, it looks like a little Louisiana delta.
That's true.
You know,
right.
You can't get to it. You can't access it.
Right.
I can barely access 5% of it with my jet boat.
Wow.
You can only kayak so far.
Kayak it.
Yep. Hey, Greg, look, I appreciate you calling.
Okay, buddy.
Thanks for sharing your knowledge. Yeah. See you later, buddy. There he goes.
Those reports of fry balls that Greg mentioned, I mean, he's right. I've seen the pictures. I was actually in a river not too long ago going after fry, and the parents guard those nets somewhat aggressively.
Right.
They can really be tough to fish for, particularly this time of year. The best time to go fishing for snakehead seems to be, if you're using hook and line, seem to be like May, June. Those times of year, summer can be really, really tough for them. But, you know, I talk to people on the Eastern Shore who routinely hook into them.
Yep.
Over and over again, and they don't want to. You know, they're going after bass,
crappies, everything else. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, what I understand is they can actually spawn more than once a year. Is that true or not true?
Well, it's what we know is that the spawning season lasts from March into November, which is ridiculously long for one of our freshwater fishes. Right? Ridiculously long.
Yeah, okay.
We know that multiple nests can be formed, but the largest female brood that we've seen has been 100,000 eggs. So we know that they produce like 2 to 3 times what a largemouth bass will do.
Yeah.
And so and both parents are guarding the nest, so that it all improves young survival. What we don't know is whether a single female can reproduce multiple times in a year. Now, in Florida, places like that, they've seen, you know, that there can be 4 or 5 spawning bouts throughout the year. For Maryland, for this area, we haven't documented that, but we've only been studying it, you know, as we can, and we haven't really done a full-on study to address into that. So, you know, we don't know.
Right.
That's
a long spawning period, though.
Yeah, and so it's very possible. It's very possible that there could be multiple spawns for
Got
a female.
It.
And, you know, I wanted to mention one other thing about law enforcement. I know some folks have issues with Natural Resource Police, but they have done a really good job with trying to crack down on some of these Facebook posts and illegal trafficking of snakeheads. And Greg's right. I mean, they are everywhere in the Chesapeake Bay, but, you know, my goal is, and I think our goal here in Maryland, is not really just, I mean, yeah, we see what's going on in the Chesapeake Bay, but we need to try and protect the rest of the country, too.
Right.
And, you know, we don't want the fish. They're already moving into Pennsylvania.
Right.
What's going on in the Bay.
Yep.
They're moving into West Virginia.
Yep.
What's going on in the Bay. And what we need to do is make sure that people aren't trafficking them across state lines into places like Minnesota. Or
oh,
Michigan.
Good job.
We don't want another problem in the Great Lakes. We already got problems in the Great Lakes.
Yep.
We don't need snakeheads out there, you know?
Yep.
Just to add to it. So.
Okay. Joe, we got to take a break.
Yes, sir.
Hey, for almost 10 years, hunters have relied on Onyx, Onyx. On the spot, Onyx, to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that give clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry, like the National Wild Turkey Federation and Quality Deer Management Association. Whether it's on your smartphone or handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with Onyx Hunt. Hey, let me tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. I talked about the Browning guns and the Browning rebates. Now I want to tell you, if you're going fishing or crabbing this week, you need to stop by Clyde's. They've got all the rods and reels and tackle. Matter of fact, I bought a rod and reel there from a son-in-law the other day. Bought a nice little ugly stick, Shakespeare combo, real reasonable price, rod reel and line, and I was impressed with it. So, you know, they've got anything for any budget. as far as fishing is concerned, as far as rods, reels, and other tackle. They got all the terminal tackle. They've got the non-offset circle hooks. They've got live bait. They've got frozen bait. They've got any kind of bait you can need, want, or imagine for fishing or crabbing. They've got the crab traps and the crab pots and the crab trot line and the crab seasoning and the crab steamers. They got crabbing supplies. Did I make that clear, Chuck?
Do they have frozen bait?
They have frozen bait.
Live bait
as well. Yep, minnows too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, minnows, worms, and all that. Live eels, you name it, Clyde's got it for fishing. And they have the fishing hotline, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 24/7. Oh, that's the phone number too. 247-FISH. 247-3474-247-FISH is the fishing hotline. Where is Clyde's, this fishing mecca? 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Regular phone number, 410-242-6108. 24-hour fishing hotline, 410-247-247. Fish! This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800, 410-455-0800, Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Well, in North Carolina, way back in the hills, lived my old pappy and he had him a steel. He brewed white lightning till the sun went down. Then he'd fill him a jug and he'd pass it around. Mighty, mighty, blazing Pappy's.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Well, the G-Man team and the Rebel News too, searching for a place where...
Hey, we're back in the last few minutes here with Dr. Joe Love talking about... tidal fisheries and including invasive species like snakeheads and blue catfish. We didn't talk much about the flatheads, though, Joe.
No, no, and I apologize for that.
No, my fault.
A little bit.
That's all right.
We have a couple small pockets of flatheads in Maryland. We've got them in non-tidal Potomac, Upper Potomac, and we've got them at the base of the Conowingo ending Conowingo Reservoir.
Right.
People love catching them. I mean, there was a state record in Virginia just broken, right, 68 pounds.
Oh.
And so we're talking about a pretty big fish. They got a big mouth. They're cool to look at, and they taste good.
What's wrong with that? That sounds like perfect fish.
Perfect fish.
Yeah.
Right? So we have people going after them. We have some folks having live catfish tournaments, and that can be a little tricky, but most of the people going after the flatheads seem to be eating them, which is good.
Because right.
I mentioned that Virginia Tech study. Well, apparently flatheads are one of them species that could eat the shad, eat the herring. You know, we're trying to protect American and hickory shad.
Right.
We're trying to reestablish those populations.
Blueback herring. Yep.
Blueback herring. Yeah. But the good
LY herring. Yep.
Yep. The good news is that flatheads, you know, aren't as widespread as blue catfish are.
Right.
So our anglers, people can go in, find them pretty easily, and then hook into them, and then take them home, hopefully. And I've I've seen some pictures from the lower dam, man. They pile up. So if you can find the honey hole in the upper lower Susquehanna below the dam, you can find that honey hole. You can load your freezer up with some, high quality meat.
Oh yeah, no question, no question. You know? So very good.
So we've been trying to encourage people to go out and go fishing and eat the fish. We're trying to make sure we do a better job of contaminant testing. We don't want anyone getting sick or anything.
Right.
So pay attention to the fish consumption guidelines, Maryland Department of Environment. But we do want people to go out, have a good time fishing, and if at all possible, harvest some of these invasive fishes we got in the state.
Very well said. That's very well said. If you go out, go fishing, catch your crappies, catch your bass, catch your trout, catch your bluegills, catch your perch, catch whatever you want to catch, your striped bass, your rockfish. I don't know which one's incorrect. I guess it's rockfish now. Thanks, Joe. Now I've got a stigma. Jeez, thanks.
Yeah. That horse mackerel issue.
Yeah, or the slime head. Yeah.
Right, or the slime. We both got issues.
So. Exactly. So, yeah. And then as a sideline, try and help yourself and help the fishery by taking some of these invasive species. That's a great idea. But I'm telling you, Joe, if I see a three-legged cicadeer, I'm gonna turn into the snakehead's worst enemy on Lower Eastern Shore.
Or run the other direction. I mean, those monsters could be tough.
I'll get me one of those 5-pronged, 6-foot aluminum harpoons.
That's what you get right there. That's right.
There she blows.
Just like beside Neptune, right?
That's
there.
Right.
I love it.
Oh, man. Ay, ay, ay. Chuck, you have anything to say today?
Nope. Been an informative show for me.
Good. Join the Physically Challenged Bowhunters of America.
Yes, sir.
And that's they've got a website.
Facebook page.
Yep. And we're talking to the president, the national president, right here in the studio today. So very good.
He's a bum, though.
He's a bum. I know. Oh, by the way, the next scoring event for bucks, bears, and stags, where we measure white-tailed deer, sick of deer, and black bear skulls, is going to be at the Maryland Sportsman and Outdoor Show. That's Labor Day weekend at the Howard County Fairgrounds. MD Sportsman and Outdoor Show is a Facebook page also. I'm not sure what the website is. But Bucks, Bears, and Stags, you'll see that. We want to thank Linex for being a sponsor. And we want to, Bobby Hawkins and Jack Carter at Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex. We want to thank Maryland Bowhunters for their support and sponsoring Bucks, Bears, and Stags. And want to mention Maryland Hunting Coalition, mdhuntingcoalition.org.